You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Brothers and sisters, it almost seems I'm going to be a little selfish this morning. And you'd say, what? Really? What are you going to do? Well, this is a broadcast that is actually, I almost feel like it's just meant for me, but I have a sneaky feeling that it's going to be meant for some of you out there. Have you ever heard of worry phobia? Right, so here's a scripture from Romans chapter 8. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The word phobia, right? The word phobia means an irrational fear of something that can potentially be harmful. And arachnophobia is the fear of spiders. And maybe, for example, it's an abnormal fear of spiders. And maybe you might have that. But I personally don't have that particular fear. But I know one thing. I seem to deal with my biggest weakness and my greatest struggle has always been summed up in one word. And that's fear. And there is also panphobia, which really means a fear of everything. Well, I know I'm not afraid of everything, right? Otherwise, I don't think I'd be this far along in my life if I was afraid of everything. But I realize I'm not afraid, necessarily afraid of everything. But many times I worry about everything. My children, the pandemic, you know, all these things, life, just how life has changed, my aging mom, it goes on, you know, I think about these things. And maybe you might call this worry phobia a fear of having nothing to fear about. Yes, well, I worry about those people I love. And maybe I'm exaggerating a bit, but I think you get my point. The thing is that God doesn't call worry panphobia or worry phobia. What does God call it? And if you said sin, you're right. For me, I think it's all about control. And when I feel like I have, when I don't feel like I have control, then I worry. It is certainly something God is continually and persisting and working on in my life. He has been teaching me to trust Him through some very painful and scary circumstances. I know I'm not alone in the journey toward freedom from worry, but I thought I'd share some helpful scripture with you today. The following verses declare that His truth is greater than any worst-case scenario or real-life circumstance we encounter. So if you have a pencil or a pen, you may want to just jot down the scripture names and verses and look them up when you have a chance. But it's Deuteronomy, and you can just write D-E-U-T, Deuteronomy chapter 3, and it's usually, I think it's verse 22, because every Bible's a little different, so it might be a different one. But it says, "Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you." Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, "The Lord himself goes before you, and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 31. "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows." Matthew 6, verse 8. "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Matthew 6, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And the final one is Revelation. Well, there's many more, but these are just to start. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17. "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Isn't it great that God doesn't tell us to do something without equipping us to do it first? Through his word, he encourages and prepares us to face the world, which is, after all, can be a pretty scary place, especially with the pandemic. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." Luke chapter 12, verse 33. So how in the world do we win over worry? So we know what it is. We know what it feels like, and it's right, and how much of a heaviness it's in our heart, in our mind. We might even lack sleep and lose sleep from it, and our appetite might be where we overeat or we undereat. It's one or the other, right? Fear and worry and stress and distress and anxiety, they're very common words in our culture, and especially today. They're all too common in our experience. We are living in an age that is filled with so much tension and so much pressure. As many people say, these are unprecedented times. Have you ever noticed, though, how every day we are force-fed a steady diet of anxiety-producing information? Just think of what we listen to and what we put ourselves and listen to. We can't escape it, whether it's a global, a national, or on a personal scale. All of us have lives filled with things which cause distress, and it is something we must learn to deal with, including, especially me, I find. The good news is this: we can win over worry. It's actually a matter of fact, it's absolutely essential that we do not become victims of worry, but victors over worry through Jesus Christ. As believers in Jesus, you and I have resources. We have strength that no one else has outside of Christ. In fact, our Lord knew how worry can dominate our lives, and so he spoke specifically to those things that can produce panic instead of peace for us. His challenge is found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows that. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Jesus said it over and over again to us. Do not worry. Do not worry. And yet, perhaps among the people of God, this is the most common sin of all. Most Christians would say, well, I don't drink, I don't smoke. And yet you are a worrier, and you're troubled and tense and nervous and anxious, and wring your hands and worrying about yesterday or today and even tomorrow. And yes, worry is one of the most devastating sins of all. It takes time to take this sin in our lives seriously. It's time to attack it in the authority that we have in God's word and in the power of his Spirit. It's time to defeat this enemy of our souls. Let me help you by giving you a principle I believe can help you win this battle. And I'm even saying this to myself. Worry is totally useless. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us don't worry about your life. Well, why? Because worry is totally useless. It accomplishes absolutely nothing. Now, the worry Jesus is talking about is this useless kind of anxiety that chokes the life out of you. Have you ever analyzed the things that you worry about, that we all worry about? Well, for one, we worry about those things that have happened, things that have happened in the past. We worry about past failures and past decisions that we've made. Some people live every day chastised by what happened yesterday, and often many yesterdays ago. What is done, brothers and sisters. Thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his grace. We don't have to live in guilt and fear and failure of the past. You and I need to stop worrying about yesterday. And then we worry about those things that might happen, but never do happen. Our lives are lived by what if. We think catastrophically, don't we, of all the things that might terrorize us and bring us to our knees. I heard about a husband and his wife who were awakened in the middle of the night by something stirring downstairs in the kitchen. So the husband got up to find a man with a mask stealing things out of the kitchen. The husband asked, sir, are you a burglar? He said, yes, I am. He said, well, just a minute. Will you come upstairs and meet my wife? She's been expecting you for over 30 years. Obviously, we can't control the future. Jesus said in verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. And then there are those things that we worry about that do happen. And some people worry about death. Well, guess what? Death is going to happen unless Jesus comes in our lifetime. But some people are so worried about dying that they never get on with living. My friend, I want you to know that you can count on the fact that Jesus makes all things beautiful in his time. And when you pass through the deep waters, he said, I will be with you. But worrying about it only adds to the weight and only disrupts God's healing presence in our lives. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? Listen to what I just said. Worrying only adds to the weight and disrupts God's healing presence in our lives. Worry, as I said before, is useless. So I challenge me and I challenge you today to defeat the worry in your life and grasp hold of the truth of Jesus' promises, right? So here are some things that are keeping you anxious, right? Well, we already know, it's no surprise. We already know that anxiety is on the rise. And my heart breaks for the impact of these current events that are having upon the mental health of all people of all ages and of different stages of their life. And I'm sure you can relate to these concerns. I don't think anyone has gone untouched by this difficult season in history, right? So why is it that some people fare better than others in turbulent times? Why is that? And what can you learn from them to help you discover real reasons why you worry and how to combat concerns? Well, number one, you might be thinking on the wrong things. Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23, verse 7 reminds us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So let's take a moment and think about that. You're likely heard of that. You are what you eat, right? Well, we can all do that. We can all think about this when we're trying to lose weight or lower our sugar or lower our meat, right? And unfortunately for me, I love chocolate. Oh my gosh, I have no benchmark, no criteria when it comes to chocolate. If somebody says, oh, which chocolate do you like? As long as it says chocolate, I'll eat it. That's my problem. I wish I had that level of, well, I just only eat this kind of chocolate, but no, Christina, no. No. And that's a big, huge discipline for me to stop eating anything that has a lot of sugar in it, right? And so I can't dispute the evidence that fasting from sugar actually takes away the pain and it actually makes you feel so much better. So in the same ways, what are your thoughts? What do your thoughts feast on? Will determine and define and what you become. Who and what you become. If you rehearse it in your mind, all that might go wrong, well, guess what? You make yourself anxious and fearful. And if you're talking about what makes you anxious, you're likely kindle worry in those around you, especially your children if you have them. Battling anxious thoughts is not a simple task, especially if you're in the habit of worrying. The first step toward overcoming your fears is to locate them. The attractiveness of God's words to you depends on it. If you can't see your fears and worries, then God's words of comfort won't go deep. In order to disarm fearful thoughts rolling around in your head, causing you to worry, take time to do this. Fears you can locate immediately. List them. List the fears. List the worries that arise when you consider losing something or someone important to you. Take the time to list concerns about your own death, your illness, or personal loss. If you listen to your fears, it will help you determine what crisis you are predicting as you ponder your concerns. And what we predict will come to pass reveals a great deal of what we believe about God. So listen well to your pondering, because they will reveal to you the root of your worry, which lies in what you really believe about God. Also, forgetting who is in control, that is a huge one. Fear and worry reveal much about our walk with God. If you really do have a real relationship with Him through repentance and surrender to Christ, then God's promises to become your Father If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've probably heard that God is your Heavenly Father, who promises to work all things together for good to those who love Him. But why is there a disconnect between knowing this truth and applying it to our worrisome thoughts? Where do you and I get stuck? And what can we do about it? Let's ponder about that. We are God's offspring, who either run from Him or we run to Him. There's only two possibilities. Even when you find yourself on the proverbial fence, trusting God a little and trusting yourself a little, it reveals that you've made the decision to turn from God to trust in yourself or someone else, which is idolatry. So this is where the battle lies for me personally. I hear something disturbing on the news, my mind immediately begins to worry about what kind of world we are leaving our grandchildren. And if I'm not careful, that worry grows to anxiety. And then that has the potential to render me useless for what God wants to do through me on any given day. So anybody say, yeah, I can relate to that. If you find yourself in similar circumstances, you're not alone. There is comfort in knowing that you're not the only one struggling. But God has made a way for you and I to break free from this anxious cycle by beckoning us to His Word. The Bible is filled with real life accounts of people who have lived through troubled times and personal loss. I talked about Job not long ago. And in those seasons, God reveals His character. For example, Hagar said, He is the God who sees. Abraham said, He is the God who provides. And King Jehoshaphat's worry said, Thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So you could read 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Did you get the chills just listening to those very words to the worried king? So let me say this one more time in case you missed it. The battle is not yours. It's not mine, but God's. So hallelujah for that. But how quickly we forget God is our banner unless we are regularly washing our minds with the water of the Word. And this brings me to the next reason why you and I worry so much. Refusing to remember. God knows fear arises when we forget His sovereign power. More than 300 times in the Bible, more than 300 times, God commands His people not to be afraid. And I love knowing how God remembers how fragile we are and meets us at the point of our need. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God's remedy for fear is to put our trust in Him by seeking Him and recalling His character as He reveals in Scripture. God regularly instructed His people to remember and to teach their children all He had done for them. Why? Why? Because He knows. He knows how easily we forget. Example, the miraculous signs and wonders Israel had been delivered from Egypt. And however once they grew hungry in the wilderness, right away they forgot God's benefits and grumbled, for goodness sakes. They grumbled against Moses and God. Meanwhile, they've escaped Pharaoh and the army. Imagine, and how? A parting of the Red Sea? How is that even possible? And yet it happened. Their eyes witnessed this miraculous sign. God helping His people. And what did they do in turn? How quickly they turned and started blaming Moses and blaming God because now they were hungry. Well, they just escaped out of their lives from slavery. They were free. So before you go pointing your finger at those people, Consider, though, how likely you would have done the same. How would you have done in those troubled times? This is when you have a choice to make. Will you determine to believe God is a loving Father who will not give you more than you can bear? And like Peter, will you seek Jesus' face above the raging waves? This is the path to peace and the way to break free from worry. At the beginning of the pandemic, everybody met outside and talked about all that was going on. And then in California, most beautiful California, there was a raging fire. You probably remember the raging fires of California that tore through ranches and homes, leaving thousands and thousands of people evacuated, lost their homes, many of them, for 10 days, and unsure really what happened. The Spirit kept reminding me, actually, to forget not God's benefits. When we are overcome with fear, we must combat anxious thoughts by remembering all the ways God has provided, protected, and helped you and I. We have to do that, brothers and sisters, in order for us to overcome worry. Choosing the wrong friends. Friendship has certainly lost its meaning in the social media era. Anyone who confirms you as a friend gains access to you whenever they want. Imagine your life right there. And somehow thinking that, well, amassing numerous friends has become the measure of our worth, right? Oh, this person has this many followers. Oh, she has this many friends. And we are so preoccupied with scrolling our screens while forgetting to build a sweet friendship with Christ. Proverbs 18, verse 24 warns us, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Social media allows people to inundate you with strong opinions on a vast array of topics. Especially with the lockdown, it's tempting to be virtually consumed with filling our God-given need for community. So, brothers and sisters, as we are about to close, and we will resume this talk on worry, I pray, brothers and sisters, that you remember that the battle is not yours, but it belongs to God. Therefore, whatever is concerning you, and even as I say it, I'm saying it myself, bring my crosses to the foot of the cross, bring all my worries, bring all my anxiety, and say, I've had enough. I've had enough of holding on to it. It's your turn, Lord. You have it. And let's see the transformation in ourselves. God bless you, brothers and sisters, and I look forward to being with you next time here on The Father's Quilt.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Just a single day.